Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Acts chapter 9. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. This is the text. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. On Easter, we heard how the disciples were hesitant to believe the report of the empty tomb. They were reluctant to believe the witness of the women. Last week, and we heard of how Thomas was absolutely not going to believe until he put his fingers into the wounds of Christ's hands and side. This week, we hear of another reluctant servant. I'm not talking about St. Paul. Paul, although he was reluctant to believe before the Damascus Road experience, he was very receptive to the gospel after he heard Christ. And he believed immediately. And as we heard, he went to the synagogues saying, He is the Son of God. Ananias was the one who was reluctant. He had been given what seemed for him to be an unpleasant job to do. God gave Ananias the task of laying hands on Saul of Tarsus and healing him of his blindness, restoring his sight. Now, laying hands on a person, blessing them, healing them as God had given him the authority to do, it certainly should not be considered an unpleasant task or a cause to be hesitant for a man of God like Ananias. I mean, normally, if he had been given this command, he would have gone without hesitation. There should have been no uneasiness, except Saul of Tarsus was no ordinary man. He was one of the leaders of the opposition to the Christian church. He had dedicated his life to destroying the Christian church. He was responsible for the arrests of many people in Jerusalem. He was standing and giving approval when Stephen was stoned to death. For those early Christians, Saul of Tarsus, as one of the leaders of the Pharisees, was one of the more feared men in all of Israel. And Ananias has the task of going to him, where he's surrounded by his fellow compatriots who were on their way to come and arrest the Christians in Damascus. He is told to go to him and welcome him into the family of believers. Imagine what was going through Ananias' mind. Think of that one person in your life who has caused you the most grief. That one individual who seems to make your life miserable every time he or she opens their mouth. Now imagine that person wants to reconcile their differences with you, which of course is always the goal. But it's a person who's mistreated you, caused you great trouble in your life. How would you handle that situation? It is, after all, what God desires of us. But we know, living in this sinful, fallen world, the fractured nature of our relationships tends to be ongoing. Well, what does God tell Ananias to do? God tells Ananias to go. Go to him. The sins of Saul of Tarsus were paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. This wicked man, Saul, he was a sinner who did not deserve to be forgiven. But God chose him anyway. We can learn a valuable lesson from Ananias. Those people in our lives who seem to cause us the most grief, that cause us the most suffering, they are sinners who do not deserve to be forgiven. for their benefit, need to be called to repentance, but even more for their benefit, need to be forgiven. And they are sinners who God wants to forgive, as He desires that for all of us. It's our sinful nature that gives us the attitude that Ananias first had, and he said, "Lord, I have heard from many people about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." And we often think this way. You know, what God needs to do, I mean, God needs to punish these people for causing so much trouble in the world. I mean, bad things should happen to bad people. Well, that's often our desire. What God desires is repentance and forgiveness. Repentance, turning from the path you are currently on. I mean, it often seems unpleasant to the person who needs to repent. The life of St. Paul became much more difficult after Jesus entered upon the scene. I mean, up until that point, he was the son of a wealthy man, went to the best schools, was socially was revered by the who's who of Jerusalem. After the Damascus Road experience, the life of Paul got much more difficult, but it got much better. Even though it was harder, even though he goes through and gives a whole laundry list of the unpleasant actions, people who once were his friends, now for the rest of his life are trying to kill him, and he gets beaten and stoned and left in poverty and hunger numerous times. But Paul repeatedly says life is better since Christ revealed himself to him. That's the nature of faith. Before we are made to look at the ugliness of our sin, the thought of being made to look at the ugliness of our sin seems very unpleasant. And we tend to want to avoid that. We're very reluctant to do that on our own. We know that the law demands that sin is to be punished. But life after Christ comes upon the scene, yes, it is often more difficult. Life in the church was never meant to be the easy road. As Jesus says, it's the narrow way. But it's better. Because now we know that sin has been punished. That's why Jesus had to be nailed to the cross. You know, Jesus didn't stretch out his arm so that he could give the world a great big hug. He was stretched out and nailed to a tree so that the punishment that the children of Adam and Adam himself all deserved, that punishment would be complete. And Jesus could rightfully say, "It is finished." That was the only way that we could be reconciled to God. Our relationship with him had to be fixed, and it was nothing that we could do. God sent Ananias to Saul of Tarsus because Saul's relationship with God had to be fixed. So Ananias went to one of the most despicable, feared men that a Christian could imagine. And he places his hands on him and greets him with the words, "Brother Saul." He receives him into the family of God as a brother in Christ, and he baptizes him. Sounds like a familiar story. Undeserving, sinful people being forgiven and called into God's family. It's our story. Ananias is only doing what all Christians are called to do. You know, follow the example that Christ set for you. Forgive the people who have sinned against you. Be an example for others. I mean, how can someone understand the message of undeserved forgiveness from God if they have never received undeserved forgiveness from the people of God? It is a privilege to be given the opportunity to share the message of the forgiveness of sins with the people of this world, especially those who are lost and outside of the kingdom, and let them know that life after Christ comes upon the scene is better. We are the ambassadors of Christ in this lost world. And don't think that you are unskilled or unqualified to adequately share the good news of Jesus Christ because you don't have a diploma from a school named Concordia. The effectiveness of the gospel is not found in the eloquence of the word spoken. It is solely in the power of the word of God. Every Christian has the opportunity to give support or comfort to your neighbor who may be struggling and most likely is struggling. Or be that person who invites them to join or at least, maybe reconnect with the family of the church. It's not by anything that we do that makes this happen. As Luther rightly says, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. The Holy Spirit calls me by the gospel and enlightens me with his gifts. God is the one who calls people into his family. We are simply the messengers of this greatest of good news. And throughout this Easter season, we marvel at the work of our risen Lord as he interacts in the lives of sinful, undeserving people. And we hear of the events surrounding the calling of Saul of Tarsus, of all people, to be an apostle of Jesus. Well, Christ Church has always had those who were reluctant to hear, those who were reluctant to speak, and we praise, honor, and give glory to God for doing such great things through such ordinary, undeserving, sinful people like Saul and Ananias and you and me. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.